Good morning. This morning I wanted to speak to you about something I had read. Many of you probably get the gospel message. And sometime in the summer of this past year, there was an article written by Joshua Riggins. And it was about the barren fig tree. And so I wanted to talk about that this morning. Some of you may remember that, but if you don't remember that article, I'm going to recap it for us. And I want to thank Munden for reading that story. I had asked Munden last Wednesday to read something, and I changed my mind on what I was going to talk about, and he made a swap on the fly, so thank you for that. In this gospel message, the article that Joshua Riggins wrote about, this barren fig tree, it got me thinking. I looked outside, and off our back deck, you can see a lot of pretty trees, but this time of year, it's about a 50-50 chance. They may be pretty because the leaves are turning, or they may just look dead. And we've got a little bit of both happening, just probably like you have out in your yards. But this time of year got me thinking about things that are barren. And as I was thinking about these barren trees or these trees that have dropped their leaves and how they could look dead, I got thinking about what Joshua had written in the summer. And he used the story in Mark chapter 11 as his baseline for his article. So I'm just going to read those few verses again. It's in 12 through 14, so if you want to just listen or follow along, I'm in Mark chapter 11, verses 12 through 14. Now the next day, when they had come out of Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if it perhaps, let me read that again. He went to see if perhaps he would find something on it, and when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And his disciples heard it. And then we skip down to verses 20 through 24, I think are important. It says, "Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from its roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away.' So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that these things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." So we have the story here, and it's kind of an interesting time in Christ's life. The morning came, he was hungry, he just wanted something to eat, and he, seeing this tree that had leaves on it, thought that this might be an opportunity to feed his body. And he gets over there and he finds out that this sweet little fruit that he was hopeful would be there wasn't there. And so Jesus, not seeing any figs on the tree, he cursed it and said, "Let no one eat of you again." Mark 11:13 says it wasn't the season for figs, which is kind of an interesting comment here. So why did Jesus curse this fig tree? When, if it wasn't the season for figs, why would he curse it? Well, Joshua goes on and makes the point, and if he makes a comment in reference to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 32, he says, "We find that fig trees put on leaves, which is a sign that summer was near. And when Jesus and the disciples met this fig tree, according to John chapter 12, the withering of the fig tree happened within the same week as Christ's crucifixion." Joshua Riggins goes on to make the point. He says that he would have been close. It would have been close to the Passover, and at once could assume that the fig tree incident took place in the early spring. So he says he saw that the tree had leaves on it, and it would have been towards the early spring, and it would have naturally had figs on it. And notice the disciples don't really even question him at this point when he says what he says. But Jesus thought there should have been figs on this tree, and which he implied he expected it to, which is why he cursed it. Earlier in Christ's ministry, he presented a parable which is very, very similar to this parable in Luke chapter 13. And we can go to that. And I'll read this real quick. Luke chapter 13 and verses 6 through 9 says, "He also spoke a parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of this vineyard, 'Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and found none. Cut it down. Why does it use up this ground? But he answered and said to him, Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, bears fruit well. But if it doesn't, after that, you can cut it down. Jesus, I think, was making a couple points here as his life on earth was concluding, and Joshua makes this point, that he gave the sign that the fig tree had had its time. It had an opportunity. It had 3 years, and he didn't think it was going to be fruitful, so cut it down. He was declaring the message that this, that a year of tending to the tree goes by quickly. And I think all of us here today can attest, if you're thinking about Thanksgiving coming up in just, what, 2 short weeks? A year flies by. It feels like we just had Thanksgiving real recent. He was making the same point. A year goes by quickly. He's going to return quickly. And without being fruitful, he has a quick comment, which is to cut it down. Joshua Riggins finishes his article by asking a very important question. And that is, if we were that tree. If you remember the article, it was a really good article. It was much better than the way I recapped it. But he asks an important question, and that is, are we that tree? This morning, I want to ask a similar question as a starting point. When it's time for the judgment and God returns, will he find you in you a heart that's cleaned and transformed by his Spirit? Or will he find a barren fig tree having all the signs of life but unable to bear fruit pleasing to the Lord? That's the question I want to address this morning. Which will he find? Will he find a clean heart in you, one that's repentant and one that can live with him eternally? Or a tree that has signs of life but is barren and not pleasing to the Lord? Well, I think I can safely assume that if you're here this morning, you don't want to be like that barren fig tree. So I was thinking about what are the keys to making sure that we are bearing fruit, that we do what Christ wants of us, that we are exact opposite of what he sees when he saw that barren fig tree and said, he curses it and says, let it die. You know, Dwayne taught us on a series, I don't know how many years ago it was. I briefly kind of looked back at our files and I didn't see it, so it's been some time ago. But Dwayne taught us on a series about the abundant life. That's maybe been more than a few years ago, yeah. And in order for us to have an abundant life, he made a really, really important comment. And he made it again this morning, which was funny because I thought he was going to go somewhere with it and ruin my lesson. But he said we must abide in him. You said that then and you said it this morning. And that's the basis for my entire lesson, is if we are going to bear fruit, we must abide in him. The word must abide in us, and I think it's interesting. You can turn in John chapter 15, and in 10 short verses, you can read the word abide 10 different times. So Jesus makes a very, very important point about us abiding in him. There's a reason that he thought this was important. And to me, the keys to bearing fruit is abiding in him. As Christians, we first experience a union with him, and then we experience communion. When Paul talked about this, he described this union as taking place in baptism. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 says, For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There are many here this morning as I look out into our audience that have put on Christ. We are abiding in him. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5 says, Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ, Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism and death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also must walk in a newness of life. We've been united together in likeness of his death, and certainly we want to be reunited in the likeness of his resurrection. For those who have put on Christ, and we are united with him, or we have union with Him, we are just like that branch to the vine. John chapter 15, verse 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. I think this is a pretty good point for us to start, because it's important for us to understand that if we desire to bear much fruit, and I hope we do, I hope that's one of our main desires, and I hope that after seeing what Christ thought of a barren fig tree and killing it, that we realize we must bear fruit. It's not an option. It's not something that we can do if we want or we don't have to, but He expects that of us. He expects us to bear fruit, and we must understand that our desire to bear fruit should be very, very important. But if we don't abide in Him, it's not going to happen. It's impossible. As we abide in this union and we have communion or fellowship with Christ, we know that that is something very special. And we have communion and fellowship with Him in a very personal way. Just one verse before in John chapter 15, verse 4, it says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. We get the feeling early on, and we've only read a couple of those verses, that abiding in Him is essential. It's important. It's impossible to bear fruit without Him. This communion or this mutual abiding with the vine, we know who is Christ, is the only way we as branches or His disciples are able to bear fruit. We receive strength from Him, just as the branch receives strength from the vine, and it's necessary to bear fruit. We know that the secret to being fruitful is that we must abide in Christ. The question that we need to ask ourselves is, which Dwayne asked this morning, are we abiding in Christ? Is He abiding in you? How can we know if He's truly abiding in us? Well, I think it's very similar to what we would do if we wanted to see if a tree is bearing much fruit. I don't have any fruit trees in our yard, but we've got neighbors that do. And as we've gone on walks, and maybe you have a fruit tree, and you have seen it loaded with apples, or maybe loaded with cherries. We've got a neighbor that has a cherry tree that's just loaded with cherries, or it was. Or we walk by and there's so many apples on this tree that there's some on the ground and there's all around, and you realize that it is very fruitful. Well, I think it's the same way with us. If you were to look on me or I to look on you, we can see fairly easily if we're bearing much fruit, just like we would look on that tree. And what got me thinking about this is we look out today, especially if you went to a fruit tree here in Missouri, you're not going to see fruit on it. I don't know, there might be a tree that has some late fruit that I don't know about, but this is not the time of year you'd walk up to a tree to see it bearing fruit. So what's the difference? Well, we're going to talk about that and look at that today. I have jotted down six evidences of abiding in Christ. I'm sure there's many more, but I just grabbed six evidences that I thought we should talk about. Bearing much fruit. Well, we just read in John how abiding in Him will help us to bear much fruit. It's no different than the fruit tree. The best way to see a productive fruit tree is to check it out in its fruit-bearing season. We wouldn't go to a fruit tree today to try to figure out if it has fruit, because we may not even see leaves on it, let alone. We may think it's dead. And that's one difference between us and a fruit-bearing tree, is we don't have seasons where we should be bearing fruit. And so we have to think about that. We shouldn't be going through these times like a tree that has lots of fruit and then in the winter is stagnant, doesn't even have leaves. You can't even tell it's a fruit-bearing tree. To someone like myself that doesn't know all the trees, an oak, a pine, a pin oak, whatever, I may not know the difference between, oh, that's an apple tree, because it's just barren. It looks like everything else. It's no leaves. It's dead looking. But I think this is the most obvious sign, is to know, are we abiding in Christ or Christ abiding in us, is we should at all times be able to see fruit. We should see fruit. You should be able to look at me and I can look at you and see you bearing fruit. Doesn't matter what season it is for us. It's a little different for us. The second sign of abiding in Christ is there's going to be pruning from the Father. I'm probably not very good at this pruning piece. I pick the wrong times of the year and fire up the chainsaw and go cut limbs down. And I know Dad has said to me, why did you cut it then? Because it looked like it needed to be cut. Because when I was mowing under it, it was slapping me in the face and I wanted it gone. And he's like, wrong time to prune the tree. You know, there are times where Christ is going to prune us. There are appropriate times for us to recognize we need some pruning ourselves. John chapter 15, verse 2 says, every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that he may bear more fruit. So think about that. If you are bearing fruit as a Christian, which I hope you are, you're going to be pruned. It's going to happen. There's going to be times that we need dead limbs, if you will, or things that are holding us back need to be removed, or a disease or sin that needs to be cut out. And God tells us he will. If you're bearing fruit, he's going to prune you. And why? So you can bear more fruit. The very second part of that says, so that you can bear more fruit. As I was thinking about this, and I had to read a little bit, because I don't have a fruit tree. But I know a little bit about fruit, and I know what my neighbor tells me, and I'll see him cutting out certain limbs. And I think, why is he cutting that limb? Well, it may be too heavy. It may be that it's shading other parts of the tree. And some of you know all the details of this, and you've done it yourselves. But he will remove certain areas because it's too thick, and he wants to allow wind and sun and rain to get to that parts of the tree. He recognizes areas that look like they're diseased a little bit, so he'll cut them out. He'll recognize these dead limbs. No different than what God recognizes in us. And we need to be able to recognize that as well. We should expect that the evidence of Christ living in us is that he will prune us. And things that would hinder us, things that are causing us issues, he's going to cut away. We're always being developed so that we can be more fruitful. We can bear more fruit. One way that the Father does this is through the Word. And I think this is probably the most critical and easy way that he does this pruning. Notice in John chapter 15, verse 3, he uses the word clean. And clean is closely, as a matter of fact, I was going to read that. John 15 and 3. Let me go to that real quick. John 15 and 3. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. This clean is closely related to the word prune. We can look and see that they have very similar roots to that word, clean and prune. The Word of God is very powerful, and it's a powerful instrument that is used in His hands. If we go to Hebrews, if you want to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4, we'll see how this occurs. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13 tell us, "For the Word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." You know, you see, to me, I may look at that tree and I may not understand the pruning that needs to happen. But I see that my neighbor sees things that I don't see. He sees an area that needs to be cut out. He sees an area that needs to be removed. He sees an area that maybe needs to be dug out a little bit around the tree, and he places some fertilizer in those areas. I don't see all those things, but he does. And it's no different than God, who sees areas of opportunity in our lives. And through the Word, and you maybe have done this, as you're reading one day, you recognize a change that needs to happen. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. There are very specific ways that he will use the word to clean us and to prune us if we read it and we understand it, or we're seeking understanding. As we read it and we hear it, we can expose us for who we truly are. We can hopefully see ourselves for who we truly are and know that we need to make change, just as a gardener sees a tree that needs some work. James chapter 1, if you want to turn with me there, we continue to look at this word. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25 tells us, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, is one who will be blessed in what he does. Have any of you looked up to a tree and saw a limb? You thought, that limb needs to come down. Someday that may land on my car. Someday that could fall and break and land on my house. It could cause me an issue. And what do you do? Or what have you done? Maybe you let it go a little too long. And you learn the hard way the damage that that dead tree limb can have. So we cannot be, as this talked about, we can't just read the word and go, yeah, someday I should make a change. Yeah, I've got a problem with that. I really should tend to that. No, we need to be doers of the word. So we know that the word will clean us. It can prune us, but we have to do more than just read it. We have to have action. We talked about that in class this morning. I can tell you that I love you, but I need to have action to show you that I love you. So if we're going to constantly grow through the influence of the word, we have to clearly read it and abide in him. The third sign of abiding in Christ is a growing sense of dependence. As I was reading why fruit trees oftentimes struggle to produce, I found that there can be a lack of proper water, a lack of sunshine, maybe fertilizer. There's many reasons why a fruit tree might be barren. And maybe it seems obvious to us to say, oh, well, sure, yeah, if you don't water a tree or it doesn't get food or it doesn't get proper sunlight, it's not going to be productive. It won't properly grow. But you know, if you went out right now and you looked at a tree, would you know? I mean, you might see some signs, but they all look dead right now. If all the leaves are completely off a tree, you wouldn't totally know. You just see it and it looks like this dead tree. So it may not be obvious to us. It may not be obvious to us what happened this past year. Did it get enough rain? Did it get enough fertilizer? Did it get the proper food and the sunlight for it to grow? We may not know that. But we will see it and know it as it becomes time for those leaves to come back on and it becomes time for it to bear fruit. As Christians that are maturing, we grow and we come to realize that apart from Christ, we really can't do anything meaningful. We can't do anything that's very long-lasting. But those who abide in Christ will become like Paul, who realized the true source of his strength because he had union with Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, he says, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God." We are sufficient and able to do things because of him, not because of ourselves. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." We live in him. We no longer live for ourselves, but we live in him. The fourth sign of abiding in him is we find our prayers being answered. This is a great visual and an understanding of realizing that we're abiding in him when our prayers are answered. As we abide in Christ, we find these prayers answered. John chapter 15, verse 7 and verse 16 says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask in the Father in my name, he may give you." Pretty awesome, isn't it? Pretty neat to know that when he's abiding in us, we can ask him for certain things and he will deliver those things. Now, we know that there are necessary things and our prayers will be answered. There's several factors to this, and we may not go through all of them, but in 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, it says, "Whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight." See, when we are abiding in him and he abides in us, we do keep his commandments. We do what he wants us to do, and that puts us in a position to receive from him the things that we ask. We know that we have to pray according to his will. We're told that. One who abides in Christ will be able to look back and see evidence of prayers answered. Now, does that mean they're going to be answered every time the way we want them to be? No. But we will see the evidence of prayers being answered. A fifth sign is our love for Christ and others. We can look at each other and know if Christ is abiding in us through our love for each other and our love for Him. Since God is love, those who abide in Christ will abide in love. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. We talked about this in our class upstairs, so if you missed that and you were downstairs, we see how God loved the Son. We see how Jesus loved us. We see those actions, and we should be no different. We should see each other's actions and love, not only just telling each other, but we should show each other through our actions. And then the last sign is we would have inner joy. The last sign for us realizing that we are abiding in Him is we should have a joy. You know, Bob Ross, for those of you who used to turn on PBS and watch Bob Ross paint, he would say, I'm going to put a little happy little tree here. You remember him saying that? Well, you know, Bob Ross is not the only one that talks about a happy little tree. Have you gone out and looked to say or to see a tree and you go, ooh, that's not a happy tree. It's dying. It's got disease. I've got one in my front yard. I just don't have the heart to cut it down, but I know it's got issues. And then I go to another tree and it looks so good. The trunk looks healthy. The branches are healthy. There's good foliage. It's balanced. And it looks all the parts. And we say, that is a happy, productive tree. Well, this joy, I don't feel like it should be any different. When you look on me, when Christ looks on me, there should be a joy. We should be different than in the world. There should be a joy that should come over us. And you can see that in a person. Now, does that mean that as Christians we're not going to have tough times? Nope. Does that not mean that there's going to be trials and struggles and maybe for a while we look like things aren't great? That's not what I'm saying. But in general, we should have a joy. We should be very joyous. John chapter 15, verse 11 says, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Is your joy full? Are you full of joy? Or do you at times struggle with that? And that might be something for you to consider. Is Christ truly abiding in you? This morning as I worked to conclude this lesson, I was thinking about the story about Christ and this barren fig tree. I was thinking about the thoughts that Josh Riggins had pointed out and things that we should be thinking about. We read how Christ had a very specific expectation of that tree. And I will tell you that I don't think His expectations of us are any different. He wanted that tree to have figs on it. He was expecting it to have figs. He wanted to eat of that tree, and there was nothing there. And so what did He say? He cursed it. And we soon read a little bit later that it died. We are no different than that tree. God has high expectations of us. He expects us to bear fruit. We ought to be able to see that out of each other. We ought to be able to see it in our lives. And we know that He wants to see it. We should be like a gardener. I was thinking about this. We should be like a gardener who is constantly evaluating the overall health of a tree. We should see if it has dead limbs. We should see if there's disease. We should see if there's characteristics that we don't like. Have you ever just looked at a tree and it's got this one oddball limb? It just doesn't fit? Well, at the right time, you should cut it off. I usually cut it off whenever I want to, but at the right time, we should get rid of that. We should be no different. We should be constantly evaluating ourselves, evaluating how do we look in comparison to Christ. Are we truly abiding in Him? This morning, if you find that this lesson has caused you to think about your life and maybe you can specifically address what's going on right now, or you look back over the course of the last year and you realize that there is some pruning that needs to be done. Maybe you've been reading your word. I hope you have. You've been reading in the Bible daily about what Christ expects of us or wants of us, and you realize that you need some pruning. We all have areas of opportunity, and we all have growth that we want to tackle. We want to grow. And maybe you can look back and say, this was a very fruitful, productive year. Great. How can you make it more fruitful and more productive next year? What do you need to work on today to be more bearing? Whatever your need may be, maybe you're not abiding in Him today. Maybe you're sitting out there and you're thinking, I'm not abiding in Him. Well, there's no better time than to be baptized in Him so you can be abiding in Him. So as we get ready to sing this song, we encourage you, whether you need to come forward to have help with pruning or cleaning, or you'd like to abide in Him, we offer that gospel invitation.